Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
The Bible says in Mark 11:23-24, it says, "Have faith in God." And Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, if anyone," says anyone, "says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours." Would you go to Psalms 102 verse 13, please? Psalms 102 verse 13. It says in Psalms 102 verse 13, "You will rise up and have compassion on Zion. For it's time to show favor to her appointed time has come." For it's time for God to show favor because the appointed time has come. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I want to tell you that God has already prepared the day, the time, and the hour to move your mountain. Whatever your mountain may be, God has already appointed a time for it. Now, I want you to understand, number one, that a mountain in your life has an exact timing to move. It isn't always the time we want. How many of you know God has his own calendar? And it's not always the moment we want it and how we want it, but God most certainly has a time to move your mountain. If you look at Ecclesiastes 8 and 6, it says, "For there is a time for everything underneath the sun." That's that word, time, appointed time. There's an appointed time for harvest. There's appointed time to sow seed. There's appointed time, though, ladies and gentlemen, to reap where you've been sowing. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but someone is on the precipice of having their mountain moved. Someone is on the verge of finally seeing God do what you've asked him to do for 20, 30 years. If you believe that, say amen. Galatians 6 and 9 uses it, the word this way. It said in due season, which was a Greek way of saying in the appointed time. When the time gets here, it'll happen. The specific time, in due season. Well, in Genesis 1 and 14, there's a Hebrew word called modium. And modium actually means there's an appointed season. So there's not only an appointed time for God to move your mountain, there's an appointed season. God knows the times and the seasons of your life. He knows exactly what you're going through right now. He understands how you're scared. He understands how you are wringing your hands and you don't know how you're going to get through this and how God's going to move your mountain. But here's what I know. God is not going to let you down. God has not forgotten you. God has an appointed time and a season in which he's going to move your mountain for you. You look at Sarah and Abraham. God said, "You're going to have a baby." Well, the Bible says both of them laughed at God. How many of you know that doesn't seem real wise to laugh at God? But Abraham had a child. He first tried to take it into his own hands. But it's interesting because what the Bible says is that God finally spoke to Abraham and said, "In this season, next year, she's going to bear a child. In this season, next year, at the same time, in this season, at the same time next year, you are going to see your mountain move, Abraham, Sarah." Then you have to realize that in the Bible, in the New Testament, there's a Greek word called kyrios. There's a famous pop song that I used to love when I was in college called Kyrios Time. Well, and that's not the name of the song, but it's the Greek word, kyrios. And you know what kyrios means? That it means God has a time for you in not only the Old Testament, but he says, "I have a time specifically to answer you in the New Testament." He actually says kyrios time, which means I have an opportunity already laid out to deliver you. I have an opportunity already laid out to deliver you in your health. I've got an opportunity already laid out to give you a new job. I got an opportunity already laid out to cause your enemies to lay down at peace with you. I got an opportunity that no man can work, but God can work. And he said, "I'm not against you, I'm for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you?" You see, there's an appointed time. It's an opportunity. The Greek word kerios is actually a root word of a Greek word which means head. It means it's finally coming to a head. And I don't know who I'm speaking to, but whatever's going on in your life, whatever you've been praying and begging God for years, whatever you've been asking God to do in your life, it's coming to a head. We use it in a negative term. Well, it came to a head Sunday, or it came to a head Monday at work. No, God says it's coming to a head. And what the enemy's meant for your harm, God is going to turn it around for your good. If you faint not in well-doing, someone say amen. It means it's coming to a head. It means God has kerios, a right moment for you, a right moment to move. And if God moves at the wrong moment, and he never does and he never will, but if God were to move at the wrong moment, it would be the worst thing that could happen to you. When you rely on God's timing, God moves the mountain when he wants it moved, because he knows it's the best thing for your life. He knows the exact time to move the mountain. He knows the exact time to heal your marriage. He knows the exact time to hear you and to answer you. Well, go to Joshua chapter 6, 1 through 15. And I want to read you something that I find interesting. It says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 through 16. I'm going there. And if you go to Israel with me in the future, I'll take you to this site. It says, and I've been there. I've been here, here in Jericho. I've seen the ancient walls. They're there. It says, now Jericho was strongly fortified because of the Israelites, and no one leaving or entering. The Lord said to Joshua, look, buddy, I've handed Jericho, its kings and its best soldiers, over to you. March around the city with all the men of war, circling the city one time. Do this for 6 days. Notice the specifications. Having 7 priests carry 7 ram's horns of trumpets in front of the Ark of the Covenant. But on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times while the priests blow the trumpets. And when, notice the word when in verse 5. When there is a prolonged blast of the horn and you hear its sound, have all of the troops give a mighty shout. Then the city wall will collapse and the troops will advance, each man straight ahead. Let me tell you what's amazing about that passage. Number one, the Bible says there was a specific time for the walls of Jericho to fall. And geologists have now been, along with archaeologists, to the walls of Jericho. And here's what we know. Not only did God tell the Israelites that if you will do exactly what I say to you to do, if you will do exactly what I say, not more, not less, I don't need your help. I need your obedience at this point. Mountains don't move because of your ingenuity. Mountains move because of his ingenuity. Mountains move not because of your lack of obedience. Mountains move because of your obedience to him. And when you obey him and he says 6 times and then he says 7 times on the 7th day, it's not 7 times on the 6th day. It's not 7 times on the 3rd day and then 8 times on the 7th day. It's 6 days one time and 7 times on the 7th day. And when you do this, God already knows that he's already pre-planned your victory. Because geologists have found out that what caused the walls of Jericho to fall was an earthquake. And it's a curious moment. It's a specific appointed time when things come to a head. And when you obey God and you give your full obedience to God, your mountains will move. But here's what Jericho teaches us. It teaches us that God has an appointed time for what your walls and to fall in, for your walls to fall. Someone say amen. Now, here's number two. What you think is waiting. God, I'm waiting on the mountain to move. Isn't waiting. You need some wisdom this morning. When you think you're waiting on a mountain to move, it's not waiting. It's a training program. Everyone say training program. Because let me tell you what will be detrimental to your walk with Christ. Having to be a control freak. Having to have it all worked out. Having to understand everything that God's going to do. His ways are above your ways, and your ways are not his ways. God's got it all figured out. God's already ahead of you in ways you've never imagined. He's already down the road, and he's already waiting on your obedience to get to where he's at right now. And the Bible says that sometimes it looks like it's waiting, but it's actually a training program. You can't be a control freak and please God, ladies and gentlemen. Joseph waited many years for the fulfillment of his dreams. But look at Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 18. Those of you that are waiting on a mountain to move. It tells us that God led the Israelites the longer, the harder way on their journey to the promised land because he knew they weren't ready to go in yet. And what may look like waiting, what may look like the absence of God, what may look like God's forsaken you, what may look like it's an impossible situation, really has very little to do with whether God's abandoned you or not. What it really is dealing with in your life is the fact that God's already ahead of you, and it's not God that you're waiting on. It's God waiting on you because he knew that you weren't ready to go into the promised land. And anytime you face a mountain, I can guarantee doggone you, God is going to use it for his glory. And God is going to bring you out, and you're going to have more happiness, more joy, more resources, more power, more anointing once you get through what you're going through. But he knows the exact time for your deliverance. He will not let the fiery flames, meet Shadrach and Abednego, destroy you. But what he will do is he'll let you understand the heat for a moment, but the heat is not a sign that God has forsaken you. The heat is a sign that God is with you and you are in a training program. God uses mountains as training programs in our life. He's getting us ready, preparing us for the movement of the mountain. Like Israel, we're not always ready when we think we're ready for our mountains to be moved. But mountains will do something else. Number three, mountains will teach you how to wait on God. And everyone hates the greatest curse word in Christianity is wait on the Lord. The most discouraging word from a prophet in Christianity today is wait upon the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, waiting on the Lord is a good thing because timing is everything to God. He unfolds his plan in your life. He never shows you the whole thing up front. If he did, you'd run away scared. If he ever showed you what you're going to go through, he'd never tell you up front. Number one, he loves you, and he said, I won't put up more on you than you can bear. But he'll show you a little bit of piece of his will, a little bit at a time, and he'll unfold the process of how he's going to move that mountain in your life. But you got to trust him. You see, to reject his plan is to reject the best in your life. To reject his way is to reject the best way. To reject his wisdom is to reject perfect wisdom. But he not only has a timing, but he has a plan to move your mountain. And he doesn't keep secrets. God doesn't keep secrets. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says he's a God that revealeth secrets. If you ask him, he'll give you the plan. If you ask him, he'll give you the direction. If you ask him, he'll tell you. You got to know something, though. God's plan cannot be filled with any homemade ideas. You may think, well, I'll do this and help God, Sarah. You may think, I'll do this and help God, Abraham. But let me tell you something. That's always disastrous. God, write this down, has a time and a plan. God has a time, a kurios, and a modim, and a plan for your life. Have you prayed and asked God for the direction in your life? Have you prayed and asked God, what is your timing for this? Have you said, Lord, not my will, which is hard to say. Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. What do you think it means when it says you must walk in the will of God when we talk about an internal inheritance? You got to walk in the will of God. But I want to take you to David and Saul. Psalms 27, verse 11 through 14. Go there. Psalms 27, 11 through 14. It says, because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do not give me over to the will of my foes, for fault witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. While I'm still living, I believe that God, David said, is going to move my mountain. While I'm still alive, I don't need a mountain to move when I get to heaven. I need one moved right now. And the Bible says that David prayed, wait for the Lord and be strong. Now think about that. Think about this. Wait for the Lord and be strong. You'll become strong as you wait on the Lord. And let your heart be courageous. Wait on the Lord. Now, if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10, you'll see where David tells us how to wait on our mountains. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10, David was told by God through the prophet Samuel, you are going to be king of Israel. I'm going to make you the most powerful king of kingdoms in the known world. Your enemies will fear you. The favor of God will be upon you for everlasting days. And out of you will come the root of Jesse, and I will bring the Messiah to Israel if you wait on me. And David, the problem, was told this when he was 10 to 15 years of age. God gave him a promise that you're not an ordinary human being. God gave him a promise that I've got plans for you. God gave him a promise that said, I'm going to do some incredible things in your life that even your mother wouldn't believe. But it took 14 years of being chased by Saul and having javelins thrown at him, hiding in a cave, hoping that he would live another day. God anointed him a king, though, when he was 10 to 15 years of age. And it took 14 years before Saul finally anointed him as king. It wasn't David's timing, it was God's timing. You know what was God doing in David's life all of those years after he had been anointed king? After God has spoke a word to you and said, I'm going to move this year. I'm going to do this. I'm going to heal you. I heard you when you prayed about the purpose and the vision of your life. I didn't miss a thing about your mountain. But you can't help but to wonder if David ever sat around and thought about, God, you told me that I was going to be king. You said, God, that my time is coming. You said, God, that my mountain is going to be moved. God, where are you? As he cried in the cave. God, where are you? When he said, my enemies are the ones that are not overtaking me. It was the people I called a friend. Where are you, God, when I'm hunted down and living with a bunch of nobodies? Where are you, God? And you cannot tell me that there was never a time and a day in David's life where he did not wonder, God, where are you? You said, my season has arrived. My time is near. And what begins to take place, ladies and gentlemen, is that God was getting David ready in those 14 years. You may look and seem, it may look like your mountain has wasted your time. It may look as if your mountain has no power. It may look as if you are never going to move that mountain. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Those that trust in the Lord are never put to shame. Those that put their hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea will never be disappointed. Those that stick with him during troubled times shall be delivered, saith the Lord. God was getting David ready while Saul looked like he was persecuting David. He was teaching David a lot of important things. He was teaching him how to submit to authority. That isn't always right, and sometimes right, and you still don't want to submit. God was teaching David how to forgive. God was teaching David how to suffer. Nobody likes to talk about that but R.T. Kendall. But thank God. God was teaching David how to be wise and how to spot wisdom. God was teaching David how to be loving. God was teaching David how to be respectful to authority. God was teaching David how to handle power, because twice he could have cut Saul's throat and did not, because he would not touch God's anointed. See, we all make the same mistake while we're waiting on our mountain to move. But here's what you have to understand. We make the same mistake. We all ask God, why am I suffering so much while I'm waiting on my mountain to move? Why am I suffering so much, God? Why am I in so much pain? God, why am I in so much lack? God, why am I always lost? God, why am I always disappointed? God, why am I always in despair? Why am I always depressed while I'm waiting on you to move my mountain? The entire book of Psalms was written when David was facing those questions, when he said, God, why am I suffering? Well, it's all part of God's plan to work in our lives, the quality and the characteristics He wants in our lives, in order to accomplish His plan in our lives. You see, 14 years, God said, I'm going to anoint you as king. And 14 years later, His appointed season arrived. Waiting on the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, is not an easy thing. It is not for the faint of heart. It surely isn't for a Sunday morning Christian only. But those that wait on the Lord, many times people say, well, I've waited on the Lord, and I didn't see anything happen. So I think I'll do this. Oh, listen to me, Abraham. Be very careful about taking the seasons, the times, and the plans of God into your own hands. You want to know why? Because His plan is perfect. His plan is perfect. And God has a way of working it out when you don't even know that He's working it out. People say so many times, well, what if I've missed the season of God in my life? What if I've missed the timing of God in my life? Ladies and gentlemen, that is impossible. Say that again. I said that's impossible because God's the author of time. God's the author of time. Number two, God knows everything. There's nothing that catches Him off guard. And number three, let me tell you something about God. God's already there. And maybe you went through a season of rebellion where you didn't live for God and you feel like you've missed the will of God. It's very simple. Repent and get back in the will of God. And God will use His second plan in your life to bring about your best plan. God will use your mistakes to make you a better person. God will use your frailty as a human being to bring you to a place to where your mountain moves. But you have to trust in the Lord and lean not to your own ways of understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You will not be disappointed waiting on God. You will not be disappointed waiting on God. He has an appointed season where things are going to come to a head. He's already designed the date and the time and the plan and the season to move your mountain. It's already done. But waiting on God, sometimes we want to take it into our own hands and we say, I'm going to help God out. Oh, that's always, almost all the time, disastrous, Abraham. But if you'll wait on the Lord and lean not to your own ways of understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, He will direct the plan He has for your life, the path that He has for you to go. And God isn't going to let one person down if you don't quit. Anybody got anything out of this today? You know what? There's some things that altar calls don't work for. Now, if you're not saved and you want to give your life to Christ, stand right where you're at. What I figured this morning. But you know what? These things have to be lived out in faith. I want to tell you one last time before I bless you. God already has an appointed time to move your mountain. God already has an appointed season. God already has an appointed path. He's going to require for you to wait. And what looks like waiting is not denial, it's training. He will answer your prayer when you are ready. Not when you want him to, but when you are ready. Because what you have to realize about God answering your prayer is that God will never move someone else for your benefit if it's going to hurt them. So you may be waiting for a leadership change or for a person to lead that's a supervisor, and you're going to become the new supervisor, and that person is a believer too. God will never hurt that supervisor to help you. God has the perfect time to move the supervisor and then promote you. And when God does it, it's better. And when God does it, it's perfect. And when God does it, it lacks nothing. You may be waiting for God to remove an enemy in you when an enemy is most certainly training ground. An enemy is resistant training in the spirit world. An enemy will wake you up out of your slumber, and an enemy will cause you to go to your knees. But an enemy will strengthen your spiritual muscles like nothing else. That's a word of God for somebody. And so it's not that God doesn't love you, and it's not that God is not awake. It is not that God doesn't have the power to move the mountain. It's that God has a timing, and that timing is always the best timing for you. Amen. If you're a lady, will you stand? Would you lift your hands? Father, bless each lady with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. If you're a man, would you lift your hands, Father, and stand? Father, would you bless them with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh? Would everyone lift their hands? Lord, may you bless your people and protect them. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may he be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look with favor upon you. And may the Lord give you the peace this week of shalom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I love you. God bless you.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.